A governess must be a model of modesty and decorum. She should speak with deference, act with propriety, and aspire towards all that is genteel, refined, and respectable. At the moment, I feared I was failing quite miserably in all of these respects. Mrs. Seymour, I said, pushing back a limp curl from my face. There was no hiding the disarray of my hair, the bonnet dangling from around my neck. I am terribly sorry we are late. Mrs. Seymour's expression remained rigid as ever, the sharp angles of her face highlighted by the setting sun behind me.
This is the second time this week. Am I paying you to picnic your days away at the park, Miss Ashbourne?
Her harsh voice echoed in the lofty entryway of the Seymour's London townhome. Charlotte and Daniel stood beside me, their young faces creased with worry. Charlotte gripped her sewing basket, her hands striped red and white with the effort. Daniel's dark, wide eyes darted between his mother's face and mine. I assure you we were quite proper, I said, heat rising in my neck. Miss Charlotte and I worked on our embroidery, and Master Daniel searched for a new specimen for his collection. Mrs. Seymour hardly needed to know that Charlotte and I spent more time laughing than sewing, or Daniel had passed the afternoon with a group of boys she would have disapproved of most vehemently, though I saw no harm in an innocent game of blind man's bluff. My stomach swooped as Mrs. Seymour eyed me from boots to bonnet. She raised one dark eyebrow. In the fading sunlight, I imagined her brow to be a furry caterpillar perched above her eye, casting judgment upon us all. I fought the mad desire to laugh.
I was unaware, she said, narrowing her eyes, that practicing needlework was such a filthy task. Blast!
I'd hoped the state of our clothing would escape her notice. Daniel's breeches were covered in smudges, while Charlotte's skirts, and mine, were brown around the hems. Perhaps joining Daniel for a round in his game had not been a particularly good idea.
Mama,
Charlotte said, stepping forward to stand by my side. Her ebony curls danced above her shoulders as she raised her chin, her voice holding only a slight tremble.
It was mine and Daniel's fault. We pestered her all morning to go out. Please don't blame Juliana.
Yes, Daniel said with all the sincerity a 9-year-old boy could muster.
It's not her fault. She is Miss Ashbourne to you.
Mrs. Seymour stepped forward with a point of her finger, and Charlotte shrank back, Daniel half hidden behind her.
And that is hardly an excuse. You are both old enough to know better than parade about town covered in dirt and grime and heaven knows what else. Any number of people might have seen you.
Indignation clawed inside me. Mrs. Seymour was relentless in her determination to appear as proper and well-bred as the rest of society, a determination that too often came at the price of her children's well-being. I reached a hand in front of Charlotte as though to shield her. Mrs. Seymour, children are bound to get dirty. She turned to face me once again, and I bit my tongue. Her eyes were hard, shrouded in the dying light. Dropping my gaze, I gripped the sides of my skirt.
It seems you know better than their own mother, she said, a dangerous edge to her voice. I suggest you reconsider your position with my children, Miss Ashbourne. You are not their friend, and you are certainly not their family. You are their governess. If you cannot find it within yourself to act as such, I shall find another who can.
I forced myself to swallow the retort that sat on my tongue like a tantalizing bit of marzipan. Charlotte and Daniel were far more than just my pupils, and I was more than just their governess. If not for them, I would have sought out a new position long ago. But I would not let my stubbornness be the reason we were separated now. I apologize most sincerely, I said quietly, staring at the white marble floor. It will not happen again.